Ken, good morning. How are you? Are you a little jet-lagged? You're just back from the Czech Republic?
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, I'm at the Ritz-Carlton here. Traveled back here yesterday. I was in the Czech for a week. So, yeah, a little, not sure what time it is, but happy to be here in Toronto. Big game tonight for us.
You bet. Well, I mean, if you're struggling with the time change, I suppose there are worse places than the Ritz-Carlton to go through that experience.
Yeah, you're right about that.
So how many games did you get to watch? Like, how long were you at the World Juniors for?
I watched this in Calgary on the 27th. With Calgary at the Oilers on the 27th. I left the 28th. I got there the 29th. So I saw games from the 29th through the semifinals. So I think I saw 3 days of round robin and then the quarters and the semis.
Okay, how many? Now, I know you obviously all the GMs are going to check out their own guys. Is there anybody else that really jumped off the page at you that you're watching, or do you guys not really look at other players?
Well, this World Junior probably had the most draft eligibles, you know, of any World Juniors I've been at. It's lots of really good young players. It must have been 6-7 players there that are going to go in the top 10, and a few others that will maybe go somewhere else in the draft from some of the other countries. But certainly went over there for a variety of reasons. Number one, we had 4 players, and Broberg, who obviously we took 6th overall last year, and then looked at the draft eligibles and players that were drafted from other teams just to continue to monitor other players and other organizations for down the road. Who knows when you might need that information.
With Ken Holland, the GM, president of hockey ops of the Edmonton Oilers, this is Leadoffs, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Ken, when you're over there and you're watching draft-eligible kids, I mean, you've got your scouts all over the world tracking these guys all season long, whether they're Canadians, whether they're Europeans, whatever the case may be. What can a performance in a singular game or performances in a 2-week sort of sprint tournament like the World Juniors do to enhance a player, decrease a player, in your mind, or do you typically generally know what you're looking at anyway?
No, I think it's all part of the evaluation process. I think first off, for kids that are regular birth dates, you know, not obviously we draft late born and regular birth dates. The lates are, you know, they're 6 months older. So I think for regular birth dates, players that are playing against players that are 1 and 2 years older than them, first off, I think you got to understand their. It's very, very difficult for, you know, I was in North Dakota, I think, when Sidney Crosby was there. I think it was 16 or 17, and he didn't have a big role. I mean, he's Sidney Crosby. Yeah, so it's a tough, tough tournament. When you're 17 and you're playing against 19-year-olds, that's a big difference when you're versus 24 versus 26. So you got to take into account that. And so if you're a young player and you can play regular and you can play pretty well at that tournament, that says a lot about how good you're going to be. Now, lots of those players that are regular borns are going to go to Plymouth in Michigan in April for the World Under-18s. And a number of those players, there's some German players, there's some Swedish players, they're going to be in that tournament. Now, they're going to be playing against their peer group, and I would anticipate that they're going to be a cut above where they were in the World Junior because they're playing against their age group versus players at 1 or 2 years older. So I think you have to take all those things into account. Obviously, a friend here is a draft eligible. He was picked the tournament MVP. That's very, very difficult to do. So certainly that is a big factor, knowing that a player can have that type of success and still have another year eligible to play in the tournament speaks very loudly.
So now there was some talk around guys like Leighton being injured. If you had one of your top guys that was not 100%, would you ever step in and maybe make a call to pull them from a tournament? Or would you just let them do, and if they feel well enough to play, let them go on the ice?
Well, I think, you know, I was talking about Hayden. I mean, I was traveling the whole day, so I just kind of got here last night and thought, watched sports. I'm assuming that the team was involved, the parents were involved, the agent was involved. You know, there was doctors, probably multiple doctors involved, probably team doctors and maybe, Hockey Canada doctors. So I would think that when a decision is made, there's lots of people weighing in with the information that they've got to make the decision, along with the player and his family, what's in the best interest of the player.
So I want to move on and talk about your group of guys for just a second here, because one of the things that Daryl Cates was really excited about bringing you on board was that he really touted you for being able to shift a culture or define it for a group. And that's something that he said that the Oilers needed. So in your taking stock of this team before you really got to work, was there something that you're like, yeah, this doesn't sit right with me? This is where I need to start, because this team has been in trouble for a long time, and they've tried to make changes and they've brought in really great hockey people, really great hockey minds, but have never been able to get it on track. So when you got brought in, where did you start to start things in a right direction for you?
Actually, that's a great question. I think, I'm with you. I mean, there's been lots of really good hockey people that have been here through the years, and it's been a bit of a struggle. I think again, the hardest word in pro sports is patience, and nobody likes patience. Everybody wants success today. We want our young players to be good today. My team building or player development plan is really based upon spending as a player 9 years in the American Hockey League from 1975 to 85. I know it's a different time, but there's still 20-year-olds back then. There was 30-year-olds, and watching young players that weren't playing with young players that weren't quite ready to have success at the NHL, being really good at the American, going up and coming back a month later and losing their confidence. And then spending time with Scotty Bowman when he was in Detroit, and we were trying to get over the hump and we were trying to win and compete for the Stanley Cup, and how we brought in veteran players, a 36-year-old Slava Fetisov and an older Igor Larionov, and the impact of those veteran players. Now, you can change the age, and maybe it's not 35 and 36 today, maybe it's 28 and 29, but it's the same. It's the same philosophy of having a team. If you're going to try to compete with the best teams in the league, having it's not a player development league. It's not a league where we just put in young players because we've drafted them high and we believe they're going to be good. And if they're not ready for it, it's a struggle. And I guess when I came to camp this year with Dave Tippett, what we did in the summertime is we went out, we signed a whole lot of players that I would just call professional hockey players. They're guys between the age of 24 and 27 that had played hockey in North America or in Europe. Gaetan Haas is 26 years old, played in the Swiss League, played in the Olympics, played in the World Championships. Nygaard played in the Swedish League. He was second-leading goal scorer. Yurko, Sheehan, Archibald, I'm missing probably one or two others. Granlund. They're pros. They play professional hockey, and we wanted to put the young players. Either the young players came to camp and beat those players out and took those jobs. We wanted to create competition and depth. Mm-hmm. And then I look at Yamamoto. We sent him down to the American Hockey League. Maybe he was ready in October. We made a decision that he wasn't, and he went down. He played 35 games in the American Hockey League. Had another half year of professional experience, and he's come up here, and Dave Tippett's been using him 15, 16 minutes a night. Now, I'll continue to watch to see if that continues as we go forward. But I think what we've tried to do is just have more players on the roster that have played pro hockey, and give our young players some time at the American League Hockey League level to get some more experience and just get a little stronger, a little older, a little more ready for the challenges of playing in the National Hockey League on an everyday basis.
So when do you envision this team's window to be? The window for postseason success?
Define window.
Okay. I would say that the Toronto Maple Leafs, for example, their window probably opened when they got the opportunity to draft Austin Matthews, and they've been building towards that since. And there's an expectation of playoff success since they haven't had that, but I would consider the window open. So maybe you guys already feel as though you're contenders, and that's fair too if you think your window's open now. But just based on what you've said about drafting, developing patience, it doesn't necessarily sound like that's the entirety of the goal for this season.
Well, I would say to you, Ashley, everybody, you know, I look at last year, and you look at the year that Tampa Bay had, and you look at the year that Calgary had. They both were the number one seeds. And in the first round of the playoffs, they won one combined playoff game.
Yeah.
It's not a reflection of them. It's a reflection of the parity, and that anybody that makes the playoffs, in my opinion, is a good team and is a team that can at least win a round or two. Maybe you can't win the cup, but you certainly can make some you can make some noise. So I look at the Edmonton Oilers 2 or 3 years ago. They got into the playoffs, mm-hmm. and they got to the second round, and I think there was, you know, against Anaheim, they blew a 3-goal lead in one of the games, and maybe could have gone into the Final Four. So when you got Connor McDavid and you got Leon Draisaitl, and we got some other players, obviously Nurse and Nugent Hopkins, I believe the window to try to be in the playoffs is now. We're in the race. I think at my press conference, they said, you know, my goal on the short term, and the short term would be 19-20, like to see us compete for a playoff spot and ultimately find a way to play our way in the month of March. I look at the St. Louis Blues last year, who were the dead last in the National Hockey League on the January the 2nd. And they party with the Stanley Cup all of July and all of August. So it speaks to the parity. So when you got Connor McDavid, the window is now. The time is now, and that, I guess that's what I've tried to do is to if you're going to win now, I think that's what I was trying to say. If you're going to win now, instead of supporting those players with young players that aren't ready for that supporting role, you know, they could kick Kater Yamamoto. He's probably been an elite player at Pee Wee, Bantam, Midget, Junior. And then we draft him, or in Edmonton, I had those players in Zadina, who I had in Detroit. And then you bring them up to the NHL when they're 19 or 20. Well, they're not going to play in your top two lines. The mentality to play 10 minutes on the fourth line is a totally different mentality than they've ever had in their entire hockey career. So they've got to turn pro and start easy when they're junior, and they go play in the top two lines. That's easy. That's an easy transition. But it's a difficult transition when their role has changed. So when they go to pro hockey, they get an extra period of time there to get themselves ready for mentally ready, physically ready. They might have a different role. So the time is now. The time is now to compete for a playoff spot. My goal over the next 2 or 3 years is to try to make us deeper, better than we are today. But certainly when you got Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, Nugent Hopkins, Nurse, Klefbom, the time to compete for a playoff spot is now. And if we can get in, much like last year where Columbus knocked off Tampa and somebody knocked off Calgary and where Edmonton went in a playoff run 3 years ago, you just got to get in. And then it's a brand new season. So certainly on the short term, try to make the playoffs in 19-20. Over the next 2 or 3 years, become deeper, become better, so that maybe we can have better regular seasons. But I don't know that a better regular season means that you're going to go on a longer playoff run. Maybe it means that you just have a little less stress in January and February, but you're always going to have stress. And once you get in the playoffs, it's wide open.
With Ken Holland. Ken, I mean, you watch him every night now. Connor McDavid. I don't know if there's a new way to ask a Connor McDavid question, but is there anybody in your decades in the game that you could even compare to McDavid in terms of the explosiveness, the saucer eyes of a flat-footed defenseman seeing 97 coming at him or blowing by him? Is there any comparable? Skating wise, etc.
No. I mean, I managed some great players in Detroit. You know, Yzerman and Fedorov and Shanahan and the Russian Five and Zetterberg and Datsyuk and Lidstrom and Kelios. But when I have not managed anybody like Connor, and he's 22. I think he turns 23, comes sometime here in January. You know, Zetterberg and Datsyuk just became Zetterberg and Datsyuk in 25 and 26. They played in the NHL when they were 21 and 22, but they were just support parts, and they grew into being ready to carry the torch and have a team compete for a Stanley Cup. When you factor in Connor's age and what he's accomplished, you know, he's already got on his resume a Hart Trophy and leading the league in scoring trophy once or twice. I haven't managed anybody close to Connor McDavid. I feel very, very fortunate for this challenge and this opportunity. And certainly I understand to ask this question a minute ago, the importance of trying to support, you know, when you build a team, you got an engine, you know, you've got those four, five, six players that drive your team. But then I think about the importance of the grind line in Detroit, Draper, Maltby, McCarty, that could check and chip in with some goals. And they complemented the Yzermans and the Shanahans and the Fedorovs. So certainly I understand the importance of getting our team deeper and better, getting some different dimensions for the coach. But certainly I have not managed anybody that's as talented as Connor McDavid. I feel very fortunate.
Ken, we wish you the best of the luck the rest of the way this season, starting tomorrow. just kidding.
Or tonight at like 11:30.
Yeah, tonight at like 11:30. Thank you so much for your time this morning, and we'll catch up again.
Thanks. Bye-bye.